Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty on a Monday. Excited to talk to you about, finally, a fight card that took place on Saturday involving the biggest organization in the world, the UFC. That's right. Even though Invicta is actually singled out as the first promotion to go, it's the UFC that kind of moves the needle. No disrespect to all the other organizations. And they had a firecracker of an event on Saturday. So we're excited to talk to you about that. And I got to do this. I got to be clear. I'm going to be excited about Bellator's first show coming up at the end of the year. At the end of the month. I'm going to be excited about PFL, even their Challenger Series that kicks off in February. How can I forget? One championship. Zhang Jinan, she had a title defense. 6 in a row for her. So, yeah, look, I realize there's other stuff out there, but the UFC, I think, is what most people want to talk about, and we're excited to do that. God, I always have to cover my bases, man. And it's because when I go on Twitter, I see everybody nitpicking every single word that people say or do. But guess what? I'm going to do that to Dana White. So buckle up. It's going to be a fun show. We're also going to talk to Tyrone Spong, who's headlining Eagle FC 44 at the end of this month as well. Here we go. Be right back. All right, Goose. So we got our UFC card to get things going. You get Jacatzi and Calvin Kattar, goddamn. But I was asked, not by a casual, but by someone who watches the sport, just isn't a junkie like us. Hey, is that fight of the year? Like, is that fight of the year candidate? And do you remember Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar? They fought in January of last year, and we all said, man, I think that one can maybe hold up. And it didn't. Gagey and Chandler won. Usually what happens at the end wins, whether it's a round, a year, a month, I don't know. But in this case, here's why I don't think it will hold up, although I thought it was a fun fight. A, I had money on it. And you know me, I like to bet the underdogs. So I was like, man, can Calvin Kattar hold on? Because Giga just always seemed to be dangerous. Every time he threw his hands, he just seemed to have power, natural power, right? But goes 50-45, 50-45, 50-44. That's kind of domination. You know, and if you take away the part where I had money on it, so of course I was on the edge of my seat, things like that. You know, I think a fight of the year has to be competitive on both sides. And though Giga had a few moments, man, it was Calvin Kattar's show on Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be anywhere near the conversation. It was entertaining because of that, but domination, you know, that's what kept it a little different. When you watched Gagey and Chandler, you felt like Chandler had some moments where he could maybe take it to Gagey. In this fight, you just felt like Kattar was in control. And if things were to get dicey, you would imagine he would go back to the wrestling and really put a stamp on everything.
Yeah, agreed. And it was Alvin from Virginia who asked me that question, so I want to give him a shout-out. Long-time listener of the show, even going back to Tag Radio. All right, so the fight happens. Calvin Kattar, lots to talk about here. He took a year off, goes, and I don't know if he needed a whole year off, but that was a beatdown he took. So the question would be, gee, I wonder if Giga would want to replicate that. It's not so much the year off. I think a beating like that, 9 months is probably good. A year's not bad. But here's why a year is also good. As Calvin Kattar kind of sat on the sidelines, Alex Volkanovski fought Brian Ortega, recovered from COVID. They did the season of Tough. You know, Giga started becoming a name. Emmett started becoming a name. Yair was no longer a name. You know what I mean? Like, Zabit had not come back. So that lead that he had as a fighter who's 18-1, with a win over Calvin Kattar, he's starting to go away. He's reached the two-year mark. In November 2019, I believe, was his last fight. So he's reached the two-year mark where he hasn't even fought. So what happens in 1 year while you're not fighting and recovering and getting better is the division unfolds and it leaves an opening so that when you come back in, if you win and have a good win, a splash, we call it, sometimes that emphatic finish is even the best. But I think Calvin Kattar still addressed that. An emphatic win, then guess what? You're now back in the conversation. Is he next for TKZ versus Volkanovski winner? No, that's still Max Holloway's spot. All right. But he's going to get start to talk about in 2022 with one other win because now he will have shaken off that fight. And by then, I imagine Max will have fought. Max kind of has next. He's got that quarter on the arcade game. But other than that, everyone else is going to be jockeying for position. I would maybe fight one of the ones that was involved in the conversation, like a Josh Emmett, for example, and try and steal his momentum. He already stole Giga's momentum. And then the other fighters, of course, was Triple C, who it can or cannot be realistic. Brian Ortega, who's also going to say, hey, don't forget about me, things like that.
I like the Ortega matchup. I think that one on paper seems like a really, really fun fight. But as far as Giga, I think he takes a year off, but his situation is a little different. So Calvin's, I think, mostly was just recovery. You know, it's like being in a car accident, right? You just got to recover from that. But in Giga's case, you have to remember he's a striker who got outstruck. And so I think now is the time that Giga not only needs to figure out what went wrong, he has to heal his body. But then he also needs to take some time to really work that wrestling, really work that ground game. There are a lot of things Giga can do in this time off, and I don't think it's a bad thing if he does that. He's been pretty active, so you know, hopefully he's been able to collect some paychecks and stack some paper, but it is time to address some of these things.
He did get outstruck in that first round. The grappling really also drained his energy levels. I would say 50% of his energy was gone just after round one. The rest of the 20 minutes was all heart, the ability to recover, the fact that he's a world-class athlete, the fact that he's tough as nails. And you get these bursts of adrenaline in your body when you actually hurt the other guy a little bit. So when you land a 1-2 or an elbow or a kick, you know, for that moment, it's like, you know, like you turn into the Hulk again. But then you dwindle down. And he did hit Kattar a couple times here and there to make it interesting. Enough so like a casual might think Alvin's not a casual, but still just for someone to like put it out there. Hey, is that fight of the year? You know, like you think we'll be talking about it? And I think some of us might, but I would immediately say though there will be, you know, usually fight of the year is like five candidates. I think there'll be five other fights that'll squeeze this one out. And I think it'll have to do because fighters both had moments like Chandler Gaethje, even though Chandler lost 29-28, I thought he won round one and he hurt Gaethje pretty bad. So, you know, at least it was a 29-28, that type of thing, or split decision or whatever. So, but either way, it was very entertaining and a great way to kick things off and a huge, huge upset, man. Giga was like minus 300 in some houses.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like Giga didn't do anything. He did, you know, just look at the picture that they took in the hospital, right, or the ambulance. They're both pretty banged up. It's just that he didn't really come close to winning that fight, I think. And that's why you're right. Five more fights, they're going to push him out. And I think it'll happen rather quickly.
What did you think of Kattar? And as much as we love his boxing, it was that takedown and some grappling him and attacking the neck in round one. I thought that obviously, you know, that was a great way to get things started, put something in Giga's head. Two, obviously the hands were there, the jab, the cardio, the pressure. But goes, I love that elbow attack.
It's a great strategy that they had, a game plan. It's just, I believe that Calvin could have probably executed this a little better. Like, I didn't see the need to be striking with him after early round three. You know, whatever, all that probably shouldn't happen because I think if Kattar wanted to, he could have taken that fight to the ground. And I think he probably would have worn Giga out. If he couldn't get the finish then by the time Giga got back up to his feet, he would have been exhausted. So that goes back to, I think Calvin Kattar just took unnecessary damage. And he kind of said something like that along the lines when he was interviewed after the fight. So I think those are like little fight IQ things that that Calvin's got to go over. But yeah, those little wrinkles, you know, the elbows, we've seen a little bit of that before in past fights. The kid's still getting better, and that's what you have to look forward to.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about, you're not going to submit Ortega, but Giga, obviously, you could attack him on the ground game. So it looks like Calvin's worked on it. I had looked at Calvin's record, and man, you had to go back way at the beginning of his career, I think, to find the first submission that he had, or the last submission that he had. So, you know, with a year off, I guess he could have worked on that, and knowing that that was the matchup for the last few months, maybe they felt like that was a path to victory. I just felt like getting him off his feet for sure and testing him later was going to be, you know, one good way to come after Giga Chikadze. Let's see what you got in rounds 4 and 5. I mean, because rounds 1, the guy's a superstar. He's been absolutely crazy the last few fights. But let's test you. You know what I mean? And Kattar's always had, win or lose, he's had a 5-round gas tank. So credit to Tyson Chartier, the New England cartel, for preparing their fighter, keeping him in the game. You're right, Goz. There were times where I wanted to see him go to the ground, but maybe he also felt like I can't submit him, or maybe, hey, I'm just as tired too. But remember what I was telling you? As long as Giga's standing, he's dangerous. Because even though he was tired, you can just tell by his frame, even that tired paw, even that lumbering throw, you know, as he's turning his shoulder and his wrist and putting something on your face, it's just, he's just a heavy-handed individual even when he's tired. Kind of reminds me of like a Robbie Lawler. And it was getting a little scary, but, you know, Kattar, he was more aware than Giga. So I think his reactions were also better than Giga. He was in there. He felt comfortable, and that's it. So, yeah, Mike Bond, Goz, both suggest Ortega next for Kattar. That's not bad. I also think that Kattar will need some time off, whereas Josh Emmett sounded like he was ready to go. He wanted to fight what's-his-face in March, Volkanovski. The fight got delayed till April. By the way, I'm hearing Jacksonville now instead of Brooklyn. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Last night, I was just scrolling through Facebook, and Aljamain Sterling, I thought, wrote 2 days ago, hey, my fight's in Jacksonville. And I was like, what? I just was too lazy to go get the laptop, start checking everything and seeing what might be what. But his fight versus Yan is on the same night as Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie. They were supposed to fight March 5th in Vegas. It got moved to April 9th in Brooklyn. However, he said, I'm now hearing it's in Jacksonville. So I was like on the verge of falling asleep. And I remembered, note to self. In fact, I'm going to write it here on my pad. UFC, what would that be? 270 is on Saturday. 271 is in February with Izzy. 272, this would be 273 NY or Florida. I got to look into that with the team. I was wondering if you had heard that. All right. I mean, I don't care. I'm not going. But that just tells me the UFC may have run into a roadblock with, you know, coronavirus and things like that. Usually Florida and Texas is always your outlet. You know what I mean? When you're going to have combat sports, because it's just easier to get regulated there.
Yeah, Dana had even said in the post-fight presser that's the one thing he can promise this year is they're not going to slow down. You know, whether they need to go someplace else or whatever, there will be fights. So, you know, you can count on them not canceling cards.
Yeah. All right. Well, congrats to Calvin Kattar. We'll see what's next. He, like Goz said, he did go into an ambulance and they went to the hospital and they took a picture. But you know what I didn't like, Goz? Was I didn't like that Giga said I beat him 9 out of 10 times. Like, I was like, oh, man. Like, it seemed like he took his L like a man. I'll be back. He even chastised the Korean Zombie. Man, that's not how you go after someone when they lose. You know, you're a scumbag, whatever, something like that. Paraphrasing here. And then he says 9 times out of 10, I beat Cater. I'm like, oh, man. Like,
I didn't get any of that. That didn't make any sense to me because that wasn't the type of fight where you say that.
You know, I know. Like, that's the other thing. It's 50-45, 50-45, 50-44. Like, I just.
But the zombie remarks to me were even worse because, like, I don't understand on what planet you live on where you feel like you can come at someone, but when they come back at you, especially after you lose, they're not allowed to do that. Like, I don't understand that. You started it in a way, you know, like, you got to take your medicine, man. Like, what happened, happened. That was probably the worst case scenario for Giga. I mean, that's his game. If you were to break down that fight and say, hey, they're going to stay on the feet for 5 rounds, then most people are going to say, hey, that's Giga's world. That's a great scenario for him. So Calvin Kattar beat him at his best. Like, you gotta take your medicine.
You know, I don't remember who said what to who first, but Zombie obviously came at Giga, and Volkanovski said, and there's that, or something like that.
Well, because remember Giga said when they announced Korean Zombie, he said something along the lines of, oh, he took the easy fight or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's just Zombie going, what's up now? You know, like,
right.
I thought you said this and it wasn't that. Like, it's not like he's like dancing on his fucking grave or something like that. You know, like, he's just defending himself.
Yeah. And Korean Zombie's over there at Fight Ready. And that's where not only Henry Cejudo's at, but Eric Albarracin's at. And I know he loves to stir things up, and I bet you he's behind 90% of those types of texts that involve the Pitbull brothers, sometimes Cejudo, maybe even Figgy, and who else is down? I think Zhang Weili's down there, and now Korean Zombie. I bet you Captain Eric is somewhere in the mix there.
But how about, dude, I mean, I don't want to bounce around, but talking about those types of comments, Henry Cejudo had a 10-7 round against Conor McGregor. Did you see that tweet?
He called him a little fart, which I laughed. When McGregor called him a little fart, I just went like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I saw Cejudo's comeback, holy cow, that was good. What do you know about farts? You always run out of gas, right? Oh, man, like that was just awesome. It's so creative. It's quick. It's to the point. Like, you literally just, you mic drop, because I don't think McGregor would have anything other than, like, if they said this next to each other on a dais, you know, and you hear, oh, you know, and then the other guy says what he did. I don't know that McGregor, as quick-witted as he would, as he is, would have anything other than, oh, shut up, you dwarf, you know, and say it so loud that he hopes the Irish start laughing. But that's not a comeback. It is a jab, but Henry's probably heard that all his life, but it doesn't have the creativity of this one. And to be fair, I thought, like I say, McGregor's initial jab cracked me up too.
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you could do something like that, a comeback, without even using curse words or really crossing lines, it's like, it makes it even stronger, in my opinion.
So we're going to transition here from topic to topic. I want to get back to unpacking the card, you know, and that wasn't an epic card with tons of talent, but stuff occurred and we'll go over it. But I do want to say this. We mentioned Henry Cejudo's name. After the fights, John Morgan and a few others asked him about Henry Cejudo, asked Dana White about Henry Cejudo, like, hey, that was some big news during the week. And when they have a chance to talk to the UFC president, they'll talk about Shikadze and Cater and, you know, anything else that happened in the fight. But then they went back to this, and Dana dismissed it as silly talk. This is a silly conversation. And I'm thinking, bro, John Morgan is a respected journalist for the past 15 years. There's nothing silly about what he's asking you. He's wondering it because readers of Junkie, the page, and the listeners of the show, they're wondering it. His colleagues like you and I, we're wondering it. Just what happened is all we want to know. There's nothing silly about it. And he says, so Dana says, well, why would he be in the picture? He's been retired. Then he goes to say 2.5 years, 2.5, 3 years or something like that. And I'm like, Man, I think it's only been 1.5 just off the top of my head, right? I'll check it now in a second because it just came to me. But I believe he fought in 2020 when we had the pandemic. He fought Cruz and then retired, if I'm not mistaken, in Florida. But anyway, here's why it's not silly, Dana. Because so you had a fighter drop out of your fight. And all these other fighters like Emmett, Zombie, Giga, whoever else, even Yair, I think, said, I'd like to fight. You're in a fucking pickle. This thing's on March 5th. We're already in the middle of January, so less than 2 months. But I'm willing to take a title fight. A, because it's a title fight. Who would turn that down? B, you love it when people are vocal and they want to take the bull by the horns and that's what you love to see. At least that's the culture you set for the last 20 years. So what's wrong with all those fighters doing it, including Dana, Cejudo, who says, hey, Uncle Dana, I'm in, you know? He would love to do something historic. And you're telling me that if the fight doesn't get signed, when he's doing all of his press on ESPN, he's not going to go, and in the main event, we got Henry Cejudo, who at once was a gold medalist. He won the UFC belt at flyweight and bantamweight, something six others have only done. I believe there's six of them, champs. And now he's going for historic. Are you going to tell me Dana wouldn't say that, Goes?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd say that. He'd promote the hell out of him because the fight's made and it benefits him, right?
Right. When do we not hear him say, well, you know, normally we wouldn't do this kind of thing, but this guy's chasing glory. He's doing something that nobody's ever done. Like, come on, man. Like, I could see if you could say, hey, the guy's retired. I just don't want, you know, we're just not going to entertain this. But don't say it's silly because it's not.
Was nothing silly about it. And you got to respect the journalist asking a valid question, a relevant and valid question. And I'm thinking like, bro, you're so savvy, you know, with the media. He is Dana White. An awesome promoter. He really gets the job done. You throw anything at him. We just said Brooklyn's off. Okay, Jacksonville. There was a pandemic. Okay, give me a couple of weeks. I'll figure it out. Props to him. Credit to him. Breaking records in 2020 and 21. Props to him. Credit to him because that got brought up with the UFC pay-per-views going up. But, bro, don't you at least work on your PR, your delivery a little bit? So then John goes, hey, well, a lot of people have been citing GSP as an example of someone who retired and came back. Again, a valid question, right? Now, this is where I think Dana could find ways to say, yeah, and how did that go for us? Because GSP did come back. He did something historic. Goes, when we have these arguments over GOAT, doesn't sometimes that win over Bisping break the tie when some of us go, it's now GSP because he won two titles and John Jones hasn't, or Demetrius Johnson hasn't, or whoever's involved in the talk, even Habib, isn't that some sort of a tiebreaker?
All the time.
Right. And it was tremendous. I'm sure they used it in the Hall of Fame. Now walking to the stage, a two-time winner. You know what I mean? It was historic when it was. It's a thing of beauty when the athletes want to do that. And he even goes, and he wants to come out of a division that he's not. Bitch, GSP just did that. Like, he didn't fight as a welterweight. So what's so unusual about someone coming out of retirement and moving up? He's already got a tag for it, C4. And something that Henry told us, not to plug our own content, but I thought we had a great interview with him. It's over on youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. Check it out, 30 minutes. I thought one thing he said was like, hey, man, do you remember when I fought? I retired right away. I didn't hold up divisions or anything. Which is something Connor did, maybe even GSP did. Although GSP, he didn't retire right away, but I think he got out of the way pretty quickly. I defended each belt. That's another thing champs are twats for. You know, they get it, and then they fucking disappear for a year, or at least one of the title defenses. I thought Cejudo kind of nailed it, and he did it against the guy who did EPO against him. I'm just tripping, man. I'm tripping how he could kind of, like, bury someone who spilled blood for him like that.
I've always said, like, I know the UFC's defense is always going to be, hey, Henry Cejudo doesn't move the needle or he doesn't sell pay-per-views. But if you have an Olympic gold medalist and a two-time champ, division champ, if you cannot promote that properly, it's on you. It's not on the fighter. That fighter's doing everything he can for you. He's making waves. And on top of that, he's kind of entertaining. You know, he says things that make you want to talk. If you, if that is not converted into pay-per-view sales, it's on the promoter.
And I don't even know if that's his biggest fear, because like he said, it's been turned over to ESPN. I think his biggest fear is that Henry probably wants an extra zero than what Dane is offering. Mm-hmm. I would say Henry probably wants $5 million. He said, I remember Henry told us, I want to make what McGregor. No, he said something about you pay McGregor and you pay Masvidal money. It seems like he's aware that McGregor and Masvidal money is more than others, you know. And I don't even know if that includes John Jones or Francis or what, but there just seems to be something fighters are aware of, and they want to close that gap. Now, you may not close it on McGregor, because he's obviously he's a pay-per-view king, and his fight weeks are just tremendous. But if Masvidal or Jones or someone else is doing something, then there just has to be a time when the company does write some checks. But I just think Dana could find a way to tell John Morgan, nah, we decided not to go in that direction, blah, blah, blah. But without saying, this is a silly conversation. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, if I'm John Morgan, who John knows Dana well anyway, it's not like he was offended. But anyone else would be like, what's so fucking silly about it? We were all wondering it for the last 3 days last week. You know what I mean? Like, what's the deal? But anyway, get that off.
Like, even when he says, isn't he retired? Like, I'd love for somebody just to go, wasn't Habib retired? But you wouldn't shut the fuck up about that, right? Like,
right,
I mean,
right.
Quit messing around and just answer the question.
Right, exactly. All right. Let's talk to Tyron Spunk, because he's ready to go. We got to get this interview out with him. We've been working on getting him on, and he's now ready to go. So let's do this, and then when we come back, I'll go over the results of the card, and then we'll bounce. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, January 17th. Happy to be with you guys. Excited. Sorry for my rant there. I'm just prolonging it here. All right, here's Tyron Spong. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes are back with another superstar from the world of combat sports. My man, Tyron Spong, has kickboxed. He has also professionally boxed. And, of course, he's been in the sport of mixed martial arts, not only as an athlete, but you've seen him in some corners as well of other fighters. He's going to be headlining on Friday, January 28th, Eagle FC versus Sergey Karatanov. It's the main event, and it's Eagle FC 44. Now, you can watch the fights on FLX, the FLX cast. For more information on that, go to the website for the Eagle FC promotion. It's eaglefc.com. You'll get all your information there. Welcome, Tyrone. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Just done. Sorry for a little delay. I had to fit in a new mouthpiece.
Gotcha. All right, no worries. Yeah, that was like about a 3-minute fit, right?
Yeah, you mix the cement and then you fit it, and has to get hard and molded, and you send it off and you get a brand new mouthpiece.
We've heard a bunch of stories over the days where a fighter will forget a mouthpiece or a cup or something. And in an emergency, they've had to do one of them last-second borrows. You have any stories like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a lot of fights, and it ain't always perfect. So, you know, and even back in the day, I used to go to an event, and one of the fights would get canceled last minute, and I would jump up and say, hey, I'll fight, call my coach, like, hey, I'm at this event. You want to drive up? I got to fight. And he's like, okay, let's do it. That's how we went back in the day.
Wow. How did you do it in most of those fights where you took a fight the night of?
I remember a few of them that I won. I won. You know, I was very young. Just always in shape, because I was always in the gym. And I won the fight. One of the last ones, I had my mouthpiece, because I would go to events with my mouthpiece in my pocket and be like, yo, I'm good to go. Just borrow a cup and fight.
All right. Well, so let me ask you, Tyrone. You had a retirement at one point, but you've been back competing in boxing. I've seen that. And now you're going to be competing in MMA after a while. Can you explain, I guess, the comeback in MMA? Is it a separate itch that you wanted to scratch that's different from boxing? Or did you just know all along you weren't done in MMA?
No, it's I never retired from combat sports. Even when I had the injury, you know, I just had my recovery time. I think I did it pretty fast, you know. And then I started competing in boxing, and that was just because the offer that Glory came back to me with was not something that I was interested in. Then I focused on boxing, became champion in boxing, regional champion. I won the WBO and the WBC titles. Then COVID happened, and this opportunity came about. I mean, I'm good friends with Khabib, and obviously Ali is doing my management and business side. So this opportunity came. They're going to make their U.S. debut with their fight promotion. And I think it's a good fight. You know, it's a challenge. I don't even know where my last MMA fight was, but it's a while ago. And then to come back against a guy like Kharitonov, who's very durable, big guy. So that's something that is a challenge to me. You know, he doesn't give up. He doesn't get put away easily. So that's a challenge to me. And the size difference, you know.
Well, I happen to remember your last fight because I was actually there in person. It was in California against Angel DeAnda. I remember when DeAnda walked out, I go, oh, man, he's going to get murdered. He was tough. I got to give him his respect. He was tough. But, of course, you won that night. And, wow, I think we're pushing 7.5, 8 years there. What have you missed about MMA, competing in MMA?
Shit. Now that I'm training so much for an MMA fight and preparing, nothing. Nothing. But, I mean, it's rough, but I like it. It's good. I'm a very physical guy. I like to grapple. I like body to body fighting. So, you know, it's just something that suits me well, I think.
Are you back for good? Like, is this a one and done, or do you plan on competing for a while now in MMA?
We'll see how it goes. You know, I take it step by step. This is a big challenge. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm very competitive, so I want to compete and prove myself right, put on a great performance, and go from there. I'll leave that side up to Ali. To figure out what's next for me, best for me, you know, not only goal-wise, but financial, everything. It has to make sense for me at this time. I've been fighting for over 2 decades, so the right fights, the right disciplines. But to me, myself, it doesn't really matter. I just like to compete, I like to fight, and that's what I want to do.
Tyrone, I know that the camps itself are very different from kickboxing to boxing to MMA, but what about fight night, the energy that you have and the walkout? Are those pretty similar as far as your mindset and your nerves?
It's the same. We're going to fight. Anyways, you're going to punch somebody in the face and you'll probably get punched in the face, and you got to make sure you win. So it doesn't really matter to me. The feeling is the same.
you had mentioned that you're a very physical guy. Outside of combat sports, have you ever done anything that replaces or comes close to the high of fighting?
Probably hunting and being outdoors, you know, in the Amazon, in the jungle. Yeah, that gives me some type of high, you know. I like that.
What about, you know, hunting in the jungle? What are some of the jungles that you've been in? Because once you said that, trust me, George and I, we like to watch a show called River Monsters. And they go to the jungle a lot. And man, there's some scary stuff out there. What's kind of like the scariest things you've encountered?
You've seen, have you ever seen River Monsters in Suriname?
Yes.
South America, where he was.
He had to go in a helicopter, right? Because it was really remote.
Yeah. And he went fishing for wolfish.
You've seen one of them?
Yeah, I watch all those, you know, like nature documentaries and all that stuff. That's my thing that relaxes me. But it was full of bullshit. Like, I could have, I catch bigger wolfish than that with primitive fishing line. Like, just, you know, yeah, you see everything. You see jaguars, you see mountain lions, there's everything, piranhas, anacondas, you name it.
So at the end, when he holds his fish, you're saying that the one you caught was bigger than the one that Wade, the star of the show, caught?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow, man, he's kind of a hero to me. You're killing me right now, Tyrone.
I'm sorry.
Have to endure. Wasn't there a lightning strike and like all the equipment went out and they had a camp overnight or something?
But you got to understand that's like a walk in the park to me and some of my boys back home. I mean, lightning, what's up with that? The lightning strike, so?
Well, it struck him, though.
It struck the boat. You know how many times that happens when you're in the open?
It struck the boat, yeah, you're right. And one of the cameramen, I think, had to be flown home, and then one of them was survived it. I don't know. You're right. Yeah, I'm sure they add to the drama, but...
Back home, they say, walk it off. put some fix on it.
What other ones have you caught? Have you done have you even messed with an anaconda or eel or any of those other river monsters?
I got, how do you say that in proper English? I got struck by a electric eel.
Ooh, wow.
That's why we go with wooden boats, because if you go with an aluminum boat and they get close to you, they're so powerful, they could hit the boat and you get hit too, you know. So I've caught piranhas, I've caught wolfish, very big peacock bass, catfish, stingrays, you name it.
So
everything that's in the river there, I've caught.
You're undefeated in MMA, you're undefeated in boxing, but the river monsters, one of them got you. You said the eel got you.
Oh, yeah. Almost
took a loss
knocked
there.
Me out. Almost knocked me out.
Wow. Where did he get you? What part of the body?
My leg, my calf area.
Damn.
But it was light. It was light. If he got to me and wrapped around me, he could have fried me.
Wow. Hey, Goes, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that how Steve Irwin passed away in Australia? An eel got him in the heart, right?
Or something? It was a stingray.
That was a stingray.
Oh, okay. Man, this is nuts. All right. Well, let's get back to MMA. I just got a couple more questions. We really appreciate your time. You have a great quote on your Instagram. You just don't want to die without any scars. And I found it interesting, and I'll tell you why. Because when we ask fighters, hey, you want a long, drawn-out fight, a classic, you know, that everyone's talking about, fight of the night, blah, 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 or you want to get in there quick, do work, and get out. And they go, of course, I just want to get in there and do work, get out, and they don't pay me by the hour or whatever. But when I read that quote, to me, it sounded like you want to be in there for a little while, maybe taste your own blood and take a scar home. Am I reading that right, or?
You're not reading it wrong. It's more about me daring to be great, you know, taking risk. Even now, you know, people shocked, like, you've seen that guy, he's a fucking polar bear. Yeah, I know. That's a challenge to me, you know, fighting somebody or me going on and cutting a crazy amount of weight just to have an advantage over my opponent. No, I'd rather be in a little disadvantage. That's how I challenge myself. Let's see how I overcome this size difference and everything. I believe in my skills. I believe in my speed. I believe in my power, you know. But you got to try to make it even. And if I get scarred, I get scarred. I don't want to die without any scars, because that would mean that I haven't taken risk, haven't lived my life to the fullest.
Are you going to die without any cauliflower ears? Have you built up any cauliflower from the wrestling?
Shit. That's one thing I hope I don't get. That shit is, nah. Nah, I got enough scars.
Gotcha. All right, so then lastly, you know, it was great to hear from you that your rehab from the leg injury actually went well and it went quick. So that kind of answers the question, but I'll leave it to you to answer the question. When you did take the time off to come back, it didn't have anything to do with the leg or a mental, you know, any sort of a mental block towards competing again. I mean, it sounds like you were happy with the recovery. You're ready to go. I'm sure you've been leg kicking all the time in the last few years.
No, the thing, so it's how long ago now, 7-8 years ago that I broke my leg, but I got my surgery, and I think 40 hours after the surgery, I was walking. It wasn't pretty. It was not easy. It was very painful, but I was pushing myself mentally just to take steps and walk. I started my rehab, and I think 3 weeks after being in rehab, I got bored. I was frustrated. I could feel a little depression kicking in. So what did I do? I took a flight to Suriname. I went to the jungle, and I started walking in the river. I walked in the jungle, I fished, and that's where I stayed for probably a month. And then, and after I got back to the city, I flew back here and I did some more rehab. And I think after 2 months, I was doing small little workouts, like kicking slowly, or 3 months. Kicking slowly, you know, just a little impact. So I think, you know, I let nature run its course, and, you know, being there in the jungle and everything sure helped me mentally, being positive, enjoying the beauty of life, the simple things. And that, you know, I believe that everything starts mentally. So that made me want to recover and get back. And that's what my body did.
Sounds like it was not only a physical rehab, a spiritual one for you, you know, to go out there in nature. That's amazing. And trust me, most of the time when a fighter comes back, we go, man, I can't wait to watch you compete. Well, that stands here. That's what we want to tell you. But honestly, I can't wait to see you kick again, man. You were one of the fiercest kickers we had ever seen in our sport coming over from kickboxing. So I'm glad everything's 100% and ready to go.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
And one see last how thing.
You know, see how the fans will react, and see how I would put up, and what I'm actually practicing, put that in practice now in the fight and everything. So I'm good to go.
And this is serious. Do you carry like a steel rod in the leg, or did it naturally recover?
No, I have a steel rod. I never took it out, so it's still there. It doesn't bother me.
You smiled earlier, so can I crack a joke? Are you in a good mood?
Depends if your joke is good.
Okay. What happens now if the eel gets you in the steel rod? Does it hit him back?
Oh, I think you got a call.
Oh.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you didn't like the joke?
No, somebody called. I'm sorry.
All right. Did you hear it or no?
I said, what happens now if the eel hits me?
Yeah, and the steel rod leg. Is it payback? Does it reflect back to him? Or?
Hell no. He probably fries me quicker now. But if the eel hits me, it's getting smoked and I'm eating him.
Nice.
Don't do that anymore, man. Just stay in the boat. Come on. We need you. We need you competing. Don't step foot in the river, man. It's crazy.
Man, I gotta show you guys. I gotta actually record some footage of me being there, because there's some spots that I go to that not many people have been to ever. You know, it's so remote. And it has some risk, but I mean, everything worth having, you know, you got to risk it a little bit, and I love it.
Take Michael Johnson. I want to see what his reaction will be if a crocodile, if a what are they called? A jacare or an anaconda. I want to see his reaction.
I don't know. My MJ is from, he's from the country, but this is different. There's a difference between the country and the absolute jungle.
I believe you. All right, my man. Thank you so much. We really look forward to you headlining the Eagle FC 44 card that's coming up on January 28th. Folks, you can catch it on the LFX app. Go to eaglefc.com so you can get that direct download. And, of course, he'll be fighting Sergey Karatanov. It's the return of Tyrone Spong, the King of the Ring. Thank you, as always, for your time. It's been a great catch-up with us.
All right, guys, and thank you. And also my big brother, you can see him in the back, Sugar Rashad. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fighting there. So I'm excited, and yeah. I hope you all tune in. It's going
to
be
great. We talked to him a few days ago, and he was excited to share the card with you, and he's excited to be back. So this is great. We're definitely going to tune in.
Same here. Right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, he's a fan of River Monsters. I didn't know that there was many other people out there in MMA that watch River Monsters.
Oh, man, that was funny. That was a real funny interview. I was laughing my ass off at his reactions to things. But that I think you might have a point. I think the eel kind of gets jacked up, too, if he takes a bite and hits that steel rod.
Yeah, it bounces back to him too, right?
I think so.
I think it the current would also hurt Tyrone, but I think the eel gets zapped as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just stay out of the water, Tyrone. Just stay in the boat and fish. Leave that to Wade. Wade is an expert. Go, folks, River Monsters is a cool, cool show. You should check it out. National Geographic. I can't remember what it's on, but Wade, his name's Wade, and he travels the world and he goes after these fucking, actually maybe don't watch it if you go into lakes and rivers frequently. You know, most of us know, oh, if you're in Florida, don't go to the swamp, there's gators. Yeah, we know that one. And if you're in Brazil and you're in the Amazon, you know, maybe if you go on a jungle cruise, don't go in for a dip, there's piranhas and anacondas. Well, what Wade has told me is there's a lot of shit all over the world. All right. Thank you to Tyrone Spong, Eagle FC, Daniela, their PR, for helping out with that. Jake Collier defeated Chase Sherman, goes, got rid of him pretty quickly. Brandon Royval defeated Rogério Bonterin. Big, big win for him. Split decision. Caitlin Chukagan, who's out of contract, she beat Jennifer Maya. Borshev, I'm just going to go with his last name. He defeated Bush. Yeah, there you go. V. Borshev defeated Dakota Bush, TKO, that body punch, nice. Bill Algeo defeated Joe Anderson Brito. I thought Brito gave the fight away, man. Brito, if he just keeps the fight standing, I thought he had Algeo hurt, but instead he kept wanting to go and wrestle, and each time Algeo was the better man there. Jamie Pickett defeated Joseph Holmes. Court McGee defeated Ramiz Bramage. Brian Kelleher defeated Kevin Kroom. TJ Brown defeated Charles Rosa. The bonuses, $50,000, went to Fight of the Night. Yeah. Chikadze and Cater. Fight of the Year? I don't think it'll hold up. But Fight of the Night? Sure. Fight of the Month? Maybe. Fight of the Year? No. Jay Collier and Vyacheslav Borshev got $50,000 each. Any final thoughts on that card, Goose?
It was okay. It was good to have MMA back. But yeah, I mean, it was very top heavy, you know. It does have some storylines coming out of it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with what Royval's next step is. But even then, I don't think he was too happy with his victory when he's going to go back and watch that tape. And then Caitlin Chikagian, if you look everything surrounding her and before the fight going in, and now the situation they're in with her now with no contract, that's going to be interesting. But the card was okay, and that the main event made for the day, you know.
Yeah, if you can't get the contract on the last fight of your previous contract, if you can't get a new one, I should have said. You know, Caitlin was pretty honest. She says what I'm about to say. I was going to say that's pretty scary, and I think she said something like that. But she's hoping that with the performance, they might book her again. And she did go after the finish a little bit, but she didn't get it. And like Mike Bond noted, this is the first fighter who in their first 10 wins in the UFC, they were all via decision. And so if you look at it, she's going to ask for more money. And what does she do? She kind of beats top 10 athletes and derails possible opponents to get to Valentina. She's the gatekeeper, I guess, towards the title. And the ones that do sneak through get pummeled by Valentina. So that division is not so much fun towards the top, because you have the dominant champ and then you have someone who seems to beat people that are looking for a shot or a second shot or whatever. But more than anything, I think it's probably just like, oh, you want more than what we normally pay you, but yet everything goes to a decision. You know, I don't know. I sound cruel there, but I'm just wondering if that's what the UFC's thinking and if they're going to stick to it, or out of respect, hey, man, you fucking come in and you win and you're usually available. Because in her last 36 months, she's been pretty active, goes. So isn't that what they need? Bodies? Isn't this one where you just take the L and go, she deserves to be in the UFC. She's quality in some ways. Maybe we haven't gotten that finish yet or whatever, but in other aspects, she delivers.
I think you have to. You have to let this one just play out. Do the right thing. Re-sign her.
Yeah. All right. UFC 270 is on Saturday, folks. Goz and I are going to be hosting a watch-along here on MMA Junkie. Check it out. What we're sure that we can say is that we'll be here at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific with the actual live watch-along, right? So Goz and I will watch the fights along with you. Anybody that's hearing this for the first time, they're called Fight Companions or whatever else. And we've been doing it for the last few years now together with Panda and Typico, our partners. It's going to be a fun show. They have a lot of bells and whistles on the actual broadcast itself, and sometimes we even get fighters or journalists to chime in and talk about the fights that are gonna happen. But Goz and I will be with you for about 5 hours total. It's four fights on the undercard, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and then the main card starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Now here's what I can say is there will be a post-fight show hosted by John Morgan. So what more do you want? I mean, we got you covered on Saturday for the first pay-per-view of the night of the year, excuse me, that includes two title fights. Brandon Moreno defending his flyweight title versus Davison Figueiredo, and big Francis Ngannou defending his UFC undisputed title, actually unifying his undisputed title against the UFC's interim champ, Ciryl Gane, and his former partner, man, out there at MMA, I think it's called Fight Factory, out in Paris. They used to be teammates, so there's a little bit of a side plot there. So check it out. Be with us. Hang with us. It's going to be a fun time. And on Thursday, we may even have some more information on some possible pre-fight content that we don't have down for sure just yet. So that's why I'm holding back on it. You can get all the results for all these fights that took place, not just with the UFC, but with one championship. Again, credit to Zhang Jingnan for defending her strawweight title. And then Jessica Daboni, the new atomweight champion over at Invicta. You can get all that in results on the results tab at MMA Junkie. And, of course, follow all the latest news on MMA Junkie, including the rankings that will start to come back, the spinning back click episode that's going to go. It's going to get recorded today and a bunch of other cool stuff. All right, one last plug, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Check out the full interview there with Henry Cejudo, Brandon Moreno, Tyron Spong, a lot of the fighters that we talk to when sometimes they get recapped on the front You get video highlights to go with it. You got to check out the rest of the interviews, man. There's some really, really solid content there. And you can even see the stuff I was talking about with Dana White. He was part of the post-fight press conference on Saturday. All right. Goes, any props to my Niners for beating the Cowboys on the way out?
Yeah, that was dope. I got to give you guys props. That was a good game.
That was edge of the seat. A lot of fucking crazy, dumb stuff with the refs and replays and reviews. And look, I get it that when someone catches a pass, was he in, was he out? Yeah, yeah, okay, I get that. But come on, man, when someone just goes, and if that's where the ref said the ball was for a first down, if that's where he put it, that's where he put it down. We're not reviewing everything. And God, at the end, it was so nuts, but we got out of there with a win, so I'm proud of the boys. They advanced to Green Bay. Anyway, I had to give a shout out to that. Folks, we're out of here. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you soon. Go out there and be a champion.